Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Pro Advocate Radio, brought to you by My Advocate Center.
All right, Rich Casanova here, producer-engineer at Buckhead Business Radio X, and Deb Beecham, your host, will be here in just a moment. She's getting a refill on her coffee, and so we have a great guest here joining us in the studio. If you're not familiar with Pro Advocate Radio, it's a great show we do here each Monday morning, and we feature folks in the Atlanta community and beyond that are doing great work for kids and nonprofit organizations, as well as military efforts, and helping kind of realign some things, and Deb is doing some amazing work, and she'll be here to kind of fill you in on some of the blanks on that in just a moment. But first up, we want to introduce our guest here in the studio this morning on Pro Advocate Radio. Ben Miner is joining us in the studio. How are you this morning?
Doing great. How about you?
Easy. I'm doing unbelievable. Thanks for asking. Yeah. So easy commute over. What part of the city are you in?
Oh, I live in Sandy Springs, work in Roswell. So.
Okay, me too. Kind of do the, so we have that in common. I live in Sandy Springs, come this way for work, and you head other direction to Roswell.
Reverse commute's beautiful.
Isn't it? It's a beautiful thing. So let's formally introduce Ben. Ben Miner is the Development Director at Children's Restoration Network, a nonprofit organization that provides supportive services to help the homeless children and homeless mothers across 20 metro Atlanta counties. That's a lot of territory. Do you kind of you have your hands in all those counties, or you focus in certain?
Oh, areas? We work all across the metro area.
Yeah.
So we work obviously primarily in Atlanta,
right.
With Fulton and DeKalb, where most of the shelters and group homes are. But we go as far west as Carrollton, down south to Henry, out to Gainesville.
Wow.
And so about a few counties out each direction, we're working with shelters and group homes in those areas.
Nice. And then you've been working with Children's Restoration Network for the past 7 years. You've helped manage some of the organization's fundraising efforts. That's always key. Whatever, you can't do the good work without the green dollars behind you, right?
Oh, absolutely. And we just have some wonderful supporters, from individuals to companies. And so it's really just a community effort. And a lot of people just simply don't know about the issue facing homeless children in Atlanta. And
right.
So a big part's just letting people know about this problem in our community.
Absolutely. And in addition to fundraising efforts, several of their educational programs, and you wanted to come on today's program to talk and share more information about CRN, Children's Restoration Network. I still think that's a great TV or radio show name. Anytime I hear a network, I'm like, cool, let's crank it up. But and the work you're doing to help the homeless kids be prepared for the start of the new school year, and which is very timely as we're kind of winding down the summer. I know parents are anxious, but as a kid, you're always like, you want to squeeze every extra day into the summer break, right?
Oh, absolutely. It's one of those things where you're just so anxious and you want to get all the fun out
right.
before you have to go back. But it's one of those things where for homeless kids, it also can get a little nerve-wracking.
Oh, yeah,
as
a little antsy, yeah, no doubt. So so talk to us about the Children's Restoration Network. And, you know, for someone not familiar with it, give us a 30,000 view and ground level. What do you all do on a regular basis?
Well, basically, we work with homeless children and homeless mothers across those metro Atlanta counties, just trying to help meet their physical needs, emotional needs, academic needs. We just want to make sure that we're able to support them across the board.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's a lot of moving parts to that. It's not just one aspect. You got to deal with the whole person, the whole family, and obviously the kids.
Mm-hmm.
But if the family unit is disrupted,
mm-hmm.
then there's a direct impact on the children without question, right?
Oh, absolutely. And what a lot of people don't realize is that actually the fastest growing segment of the homeless population are children under the age of 9.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. And 40% of the homeless population is a child under the age of 18. And so really the face of homelessness has shifted a lot in the recent decades.
Pretty dramatically. And I want to let our listeners know that Deb is now loaded with her second cup of coffee, so she's ready to go. And welcome to your show, Deb.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for joining us on Pro Advocate Radio. This is Deb Beecham, founder and director of My Advocate Center and co-host of Pro Advocate Radio. And we let James off the hook this morning.
Uh-huh.
And He was actually needed on an FM station this morning, so you're stuck with me. But thank you, Rich, for helping me host today. And, you know, the big message today is don't sweat the small stuff.
Absolutely.
Just buy more school supplies.
Absolutely.
That's a good one. We all need school supplies, even if, as an adult or whatever. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just little things that you take for granted that you, you don't realize how many kids out there, just right in our own backyard, mm-hmm. need things. And when I was at a fundraiser, gosh, several years ago, and there was a beautiful piece of art being auctioned off for Children's Restoration Network. And that's how I learned about you guys. And so I went by the office and met your staff, and I was just really impressed. It left me with a really good feeling. These are people doing real work, boots on the ground, very involved community, and very down to earth. So
absolutely. We really rely on just the community to get involved. And so we only have 4 full-time staff people, and so we rely on 6,000-plus volunteers throughout the year, lots of companies to support collections and make donations.
That's
and so,
amazing. 6,000 volunteers.
Absolutely.
Wow.
Can we borrow impressive. A couple of them over here? Yeah.
We couldn't do the work we would do without them. Last year, we talking about getting the kids ready for school, we gave out over 5,500 new filled book bags. And if it were just the 4 of us, we'd give them out in about December.
Can you say that number again? 5,500.
5,500 new filled book bags last year. And we want to top it this year. We want to get 6,000 or more.
Okay, so that's a book bag and then supplied with supplies. What are some of the on the short list that the kids need?
They need anything and everything. A lot of people, when they think about homeless kids, they think about the younger kids. And so one thing we definitely need are book bags for older kids.
Right, yeah.
And so, of course, composition books and spiral notebooks, binders, but everything that your kids would need for school, these kids need.
Yeah, the book just bags buy extra mm-hmm. while you're out at Target and Walmart. And mm-hmm. I'll do a plug for Office Depot, Office Max. I mean, all of these guys. And actually, this is, do you have those kinds of sponsorships?
Absolutely. Kroger is one of our big partners on this campaign. And so all the Kroger stores across Metro Atlanta are going to be serving as public drop-off sites.
Oh, wow.
Between now and August 1st.
August 1st is the big day. So that makes it so easy. Just when you're doing your shopping, pick up extra supplies there at Kroger.
Mm-hmm.
And make sure you go to the drop-off. And so on the website, I saw the list, and we can tweet out the list of locations over the next few days. So that's exciting.
Absolutely. We're just so excited about this opportunity.
Yeah, I know there's a lot of families who appreciate it. And a little bit later, I want to get into some of the stories we've mm-hmm. been talking about with some of the local families. I think our audience would like to know more about that. But what's happening this week?
Well, it's funny that you mentioned about seeing that beautiful artwork a couple of years ago, because right this upcoming week, we have our Celebrate the Children Gala, which is a dinner dance and silent and live auction that's happening at the Ritz-Carlton in Buckhead. It's Saturday, July 25th. Doors open at 6. And so it's just a great opportunity to come out, just fine dining, bottomless glass of wine at dinner, and then silent live auction. And again, there's going to be dancing. There's going to be all sorts of different fun
activities. This is a fun crowd.
Oh, yeah.
I've been to, and it's a beautiful location at the Ritz-Carlton right here in Buckhead.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been to a number of charity events, fundraisers. This is a great, fun crowd. These are the people that you want to become friends with. So I'd encourage everyone to come out. And if you can't make it to the gala, you can still go online and make donations and get involved in different ways. So I'm looking forward to Saturday night, and you'll get to meet Ashley. She couldn't be here. Hopefully she's listening this morning, but her dad got really excited when he saw what we were having on the show this morning. So thank you.
Well, we look forward to seeing them there. And again, appreciate all your work advocating about these types of opportunities.
Yeah, it just struck me years ago when I was going through a family conflict, and I noticed that enough people weren't focused on the needs of children. And it's something that we assume that all these other organizations are doing all this work and somebody's got it covered.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, no, they don't have it covered. every single one of us needs to do more with what we have and, you know, pause each day and see what we can do for someone else, for another family, especially families who are struggling with homelessness. So, that's been our focus with my advocate center is how can we resolve conflict? How can we help people avoid pitfalls that lead to homelessness and lead to kids not getting what they need, like just the basic supplies for school and meals and exercise, tutoring after school. So what's the program on tutoring after school?
Well, for these homeless kids, a lot of times their lives have been completely disrupted. And just to give you an idea of where these kids are coming from, most of the kids that we work with, they live in a group home. And so a group home is basically a modern-day orphanage. They've been usually ripped from their homes due to abusive circumstances, physical abuse, emotional abuse, sexual abuse, neglect, abandonment, or parents with substance abuse issues or who get incarcerated. And again, they're placed into these group homes with 6-7 other strangers that they don't know, and their whole worlds are thrown upside down. And a lot of times these kids are going from school to school each year. And again, the staff people are there. They have to watch over all these kids at the time. There's generally only one staff person there at a time to meet all their needs. And so there's not a lot of extra attention that can be given to help kids when they're struggling.
There's a lot of gaps there, it sounds
absolutely.
Like.
Absolutely. Homeless kids are a lot more likely to struggle in school.
Okay.
In fact, less than 25% of homeless kids graduate from high school, and reading and math proficiency rates are in like the 15% range. And so they're really struggling. And so having somebody who can come in on a weekly basis, work with them to help them with homework and schoolwork, but also to help them to catch up on those skills that they struggle with and that they've fallen behind with.
And just organizational skills.
Absolutely.
I mean, it doesn't have, even if you're not a whiz at math and you have the ability to just listen, talk, guide, you know, I know, you know, I have kids and sometimes just spending time with their backpacks and their binders, and I don't have to worry about my daughter so much, but you know, kids need somebody to kind of look over things and make sure they're as organized as they can be. And I'm sure that's something that these kids need, just that even would make a difference.
Huge difference. And I think you hit on a key thing. And when we don't call our volunteers tutors, we call them academic mentors.
Okay.
Because education is still a focus. But one of those big things that you can't even measure is just what the difference it means just to come into a child's life each week, to give them that supportive service, them knowing that you're going to be there, somebody that can listen to them, can talk to them, can give them advice about these different things. It makes a world of difference that goes far beyond the grades that you see on the report card.
That's great. I didn't think about that as much until I read on the website. And I was a big sister in Colorado before my twins were born. And I know what a big difference that made. So, I mean, living here in Atlanta, I know I have a lot of friends who either don't work or work part-time. And I'm going to especially send out an email about this and suggest that, because I know some of them are former teachers, you know, and just, you know, their kids are grown and they have a little extra time on their hands and could do so. And I know it would make them feel really good to make a difference in a child's life that way.
Absolutely. And again, it's one of those things where we try to be flexible to volunteers' needs. And so we have some afternoon opportunities. We have some weekday evening opportunities, a few weekend opportunities. And so whatever your schedule looks like, whether it's for the short term or the long term, there are ways that people can get involved. And again, for these kids, they get so much out of it, but it's one of those things where it really teaches you as well. And you walk away feeling inspired working with them.
Yeah. So
I just want to remind our listeners listening to Pro Advocate Radio and with our guest, Ben Miner, Children's Restoration Network. Ben, would you please mention for our listeners point of contact? I know you have website, social media.
Absolutely. We're on, our website is www.childrn.org.
Okay.
And again, we're on Facebook, Twitter at CRN Charity, the same for Instagram. Okay. And so, and Facebook, you can search Children's Restoration Network.
Yeah. So yeah, Facebook, just search Children's Restoration Network, but on Twitter, it's just CRN Charity.
Yes.
Yeah. And we're getting live Twitter feeds here now, but, and just, before we do an announcement for our sponsor and underwriter here as well, just remind people that are listening and they heard about this event happening this Saturday. Tell us details. Where do they go? Is there a ticket price? And all the particulars.
Yeah. So our Celebrate the Children Gala, again, it's happening at the Ritz-Carlton in Buckhead.
Okay.
July 25th, this upcoming Saturday.
Right.
And so individual tickets are $175 per person.
Okay.
And tables are $1,750
right,
per table of 10.
Okay.
But again, it's just a really fun event. And in addition to, again, just the best food on the planet.
Right. Yeah, the Ritz-Carlton does it up right, man. We've had them in several times. They bring in some great food. And it's right up the street here in Buckhead.
Oh, yeah.
So, but how do they, where do they go to get tickets?
They go to our website at www.childrn.org. And again, we have a limited number of tickets and tables left. And so it's definitely one of those things where you want to jump on it. And again, it's just a really fun event. And you also get to hear some of the personal experiences, some of our scholarship recipients. We provide scholarships to help some of the homeless youth we work with go to college or trade school or technical school. And so you get to see kind of firsthand how these programs change these kids' lives. And again, it's not just helping them to enjoy their childhood experiences, but also preparing them to escape a life of homelessness.
Nice. And like Deb said, they put the fun in fundraiser. And so, again, you're listening to Pro Advocate Radio, your host, Deb Beecham from My Advocate Center. Tell our listeners a little bit about My Advocate Center before we jump into our next series of questions here.
Well, My Advocate Center is, thank you, Rich, is a nonprofit corporation in Georgia, and we were founded in 2011. And again, basically because we saw a huge gap in the need for resolving conflict in different ways without every situation needing to erupt into prolonged litigation.
Right.
So it encompasses so many different areas, from financial guidance to psychological support, and really just some tough love sometimes with families who need to sit down and work out a good parenting plan, because really, at the end of the day, we need to keep as much stability and peace and balance for kids as possible. Right. And when we have parents, for example, who have substance abuse problems, if you can identify those and nip them in the bud, sit that person down and say, you want to be an involved parent, here's how you do it, rather than going off the cliff with, you know, a big prolonged fight. And we see so much unnecessary litigation. And it's not healthy for children, it's not healthy for the parents, and it sets up a generation after generation cycle. So we're interrupting cycles that lead to homelessness and failure in school and health problems. So it's exciting, because once we started putting the messages out there about what we're after, more and more professionals started stepping up, and that's why we came to Business Radio X, because the business community wants to see us do better. The professional community wants to offer better solutions. So I'm very grateful to be here, and thank you for letting me explain a little bit more about My Advocate Center. We're so focused on all these terrific guests we have in here, but you can see where the different causes and projects dovetail together. So we have a number of families where we're turning cases around, and we're helping people kind of get their legs back under them, get their children back home, help them transition out of the conflict so they're moving on with their lives in a better way. And guess what those kids are able to then do? They're able to focus on charity work as they get older, because we need to build our next generation of philanthropists, don't we?
Right,
absolutely.
Yeah. That's a great mission. And I know you do a lot of work with families and families in transition and in disruption phases of their lives. But also, I know you're very passionate about the military, which we'll probably talk about in the next break here. But let's get back to our guest right now. And Ben Miner is joining us here in the studio with Children's Restoration Network. Let's talk to us about the big event, Stuff the Bus, whatever, right?
Well, as we get started for these kids going back to school, we have a huge back-to-school campaign. And so our goal is to make sure that every homeless child who's living in a shelter or group home, who's about to start school, has a new filled book bag waiting for them. And even beyond that, the new kids who come in throughout the school year just have a book bag waiting for them.
Okay.
On August 7th and 8th, we actually sort book bags and school supplies, and then we have a big back-to-school day of readiness on August 9th.
Okay.
But one of the big ways that we get all the supplies for this campaign is we work in conjunction with WSB TV,
okay.
And they host a Stuff the Bus campaign on August 1st. And basically, they're going to be promoting it to where they're going to have 6 school buses throughout Metro Atlanta where people can come and drop off new school supplies for these kids.
Oh, nice.
And so it's going to be Kroger on Lower Roswell Road in Cobb County,
okay.
Kroger on Sugarloaf and Gwinnett, Sugarloaf Parkway, Flatshoals Park in Decatur. There's American Signature Furniture. They have a location in Southwest Atlanta on Carmilla Drive, Northside Hospital on Forsyth, and at WSB TV Station downtown.
Right, right. Nice.
And so they're going to be school buses all there from noon until 7 p.m. And so they'll be actually collecting those school supplies.
That's part of their family-to-family program.
Yes, it is. Yeah. And again, WSB TV as well with, again, Northside Hospital, Kroger, American Signature Furniture, Southwest Airlines, all these companies work to really make this campaign so successful.
Now, is this separate or in conjunction with the donations being made at Kroger, or... That's it.
Well, Kroger is part of the family-to-family partner, serves as a public drop-off site.
Oh, okay.
And again, Northside Hospital does huge collections for the campaign. And so all the family-to-family partners are heavily involved. But it's one of those things where it's not just them. We have we have dozens of private companies and churches,
With all those volunteers, if they're volunteering, then they kind of get behind the cause and they do their own side project as well, right?
Absolutely. This campaign's built on thousands of volunteers and supporters, and so it's not any one person who's going to drop off 6,000 new book bags.
Exactly.
It's everybody coming together to really make that difference.
Nice.
Wow, I just had to put out something on Twitter about Stuff the Bus. I love that hashtag.
And yes.
I know, and I'm excited because we have the one there in East Cobb near us, so we'll get to go take some pictures and...
Oh, it's amazing seeing these buses that start off completely empty, and then within a day, they're just filled to the brim with school supplies, book bags, pens and pencils, and notebooks. And to fill an entire bus, yet alone 6, it's just an amazing, amazing campaign.
That's something.
It's almost like a Guinness record. How many book bags can you fit in a telephone booth? But now it's a bus, whatever.
Yeah, exactly. So I hope everybody will keep an eye out. Again, we'll post the locations in different places, make it easy for people to find them. And so I imagine you've been there now 7 years?
Yes.
Wow, congratulations. I know they're excited to have you. And have you, tell me about some of the families that you've met.
Well, it's... For most of the kids, again, they're actually in a group home, and so they have been, and so they have a lot of times been removed from their families. And I'm just amazed by how a child can basically live in a group home for years and years, if not decades. I know that one of our recent New Hope Scholarship recipients who graduated from college, she was placed into a group home right around the time that she turned 3-4 years old. Because she had been living in a car, and her family actually had to eat out of dumpsters to get food, as her mother was escaping an abusive situation. And so it's just heartbreaking, some of the experiences these kids have. But it spans a whole gamut. I mean, a lot of the kids in these shelters, they're still there with a single mother. And again, A lot of these women just one little thing goes wrong and things can spiral out of control. When you're just struggling to get by and just little things happen, it can cause things just to keep on in that spiral where you end up having to make those difficult decisions.
Yeah, and that's, we're seeing a lot of that with these cases where they just keep getting, seems like one bad act leads to another bad act, or, you know, you just, sometimes you don't have the information that you need to make the right decisions, and then suddenly you lose your car, then your home, and if you can't provide, then you lose your child. So, have you seen any of these, like, say, the single mothers, for example, transition out of the home?
Absolutely.
Out of the group home? Okay.
Yes, and so... and so that's the ultimate goal, obviously, is to help these kids and these mothers with kids escape that life of homelessness and break the cycle of not just homelessness, but poverty as well. And so, again, a lot of our programs focus on just helping these kids enjoy being a child. But our ultimate goal is to help prepare them for a future with the proper skills and tools that will help them be successful, independent citizens.
Yeah. What about access to sports? Do they have, are there programs to help them get exercise?
There are some. It's we do fun activities with the kids, but there are some other programs that help the kids get involved actively as well.
Okay, that's good. And that's another, I'm putting my fundraising hat on. Said, what else can we do for these kids? This, you guys are doing an amazing job. So thank you for what you do.
Yeah, what do you do throughout the year, like holidays or other occasions? We're talking obviously seasonal right now, back to school. What are some other, but it's still amazing. You only have four people there. You're just one of four people. But what are some other things throughout the year that y'all get involved in?
Well, we want, again, them to be able to enjoy those special times of year. And for a lot of these kids, the holidays can be a traumatic experience.
Oh yeah,
they expect to have hot dogs on Thanksgiving, or that Santa is not going to be able to find them because they're living in a shelter. And so we want to make sure that the holidays are a memorable, wonderful moment. And so every year we do a Thanksgiving food drive. We obviously collect those Thanksgiving staples of your turkey and your sweet potatoes and green beans and all that.
But no asparagus, right? Yeah.
Well, we want them to have some of the vegetables they may not enjoy, but it's definitely helpful. But it's also about making sure that those shelters have extra food throughout the holiday season.
Yeah, yeah.
And so we just want them to be able to enjoy that, a feast fit for a queen or a king.
Right,
and
yeah.
And so, and then again, going into December, we do, we have a program called Adopt a Shelter, where a company can get involved and can actually adopt one location, provide all the gifts for that location. But we also have a general toy and gift drive in case people want to just collect things for various kids of different ages, for those kids in the shelter who are transitioning in and out more quickly.
You mentioned the shelters. I mean, any idea how many shelters are in the metro area, how many y'all work with, and how many kids that represents per shelter? I mean, it's interesting, some of the numbers.
We work with 134 different group homes and shelters across 20 counties.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
I know you said 20 counties earlier, but now that kind of brings it home. 120?
Yes.
And how many, what's the low end to high end number of kids that might be in a shelter at and a group home?
Well, group homes tend to be a little bit smaller, okay. And so you'll generally see kind of an average of like 6 to 10 kids in a group home, although some can range higher in the 20s and even higher than that. And shelters tend to have a larger number of kids, but the kids come out in and out more quickly.
Right.
But throughout the course of the year, we work with over 6,000 kids.
Wow.
And on any given night, there can be 2,700 to 3,000 kids living in these group homes and shelters. And that's just touching the surface of it.
2,700 to 3,000 kids living per night in group shelters.
Yeah, group homes and shelters that we work with.
Okay.
And again, that's touching the surface. I heard that there can be up to 8,000 homeless kids in Metro Atlanta on any given day.
Those are the kids that are not even at a group home or shelter.
Yeah. And it's just heartbreaking. And again, when you see... I think there's the stigma of homelessness is that kind of lone individual male,
right,
who's in a downtown setting, panhandling.
Right.
But again, 40% of the homeless population are children, and the majority of the homeless population are mothers and homeless children.
And if they're living on the streets, why wouldn't they, I don't know if this is a dumb question, but why wouldn't they enter into a shelter or group home?
Well, with these shelters and group homes are at virtual capacity all the time. And again,
so they're turning people away.
Unfortunately, they do have to turn people away. And again, some people are staying in an extended stay for a few days until their money runs out, or they're couch surfing among friends and they're just trying to get by in whatever ways they can. But when you see a homeless child, they look like every other child. And so people don't necessarily understand just how big of an issue this is. And Atlanta's one of the poorest cities in the country for children living in poverty.
Seriously?
Yes.
Atlanta?
Yes. I think there are more at-risk children in Atlanta than most other cities in the country, if not all other cities.
Well, I never would have guessed.
Yeah.
Well, it's just heart-wrenching when you told that story earlier about a three-year-old mm-hmm. that enters into a group home, and that's their all of their their childhood.
Yes.
And into up to college or whatever, and that they're, you know, I mean, it's pretty sad.
There are just so many obstacles there. But there's also that silver lining. I mean, this girl who, again, lived in the same group home for 14 years, who was living in cars and, again, scrounging around for food. She recently graduated from college. She wants to pursue her master's and counseling so that Wow. she can work with kids from that similar situation, because she knows what they've been going through. And so many of these kids, it's a struggle, but they want to give back. And when you see them make those transitions and really just transform their entire lives, it's inspiring. And when you have people behind them who are helping them, what that was built on 14 years of Thanksgiving meals and Yep. and gifts at Christmas and tutoring. And so it's one of those things where a whole group of people over the course of time helped make that difference.
So talk to about that silver lining. What are some volunteer opportunities, and are they family friendly, or what are some options?
Well, with a lot of these seasonal campaigns, those are great opportunities for families to come out. And so again, like with our upcoming back to school campaign, we need help sorting all these school supplies that we're getting, packing the book bags. And so again, on August 7th and 8th, we're going to sort all those school supplies and pack those book bags. We basically just get like an empty storefront. And so the address for that this year is yeah. going to be 5300 Oakbrook Parkway in Norcross. And again, okay. this is just going to be an empty storefront in a shopping center kind of situation.
Sorting supplies and packing backpacks.
Yes.
So what's that date again?
August 7th and 8th. And again, that's from 10 until 4:30, and on Saturdays until we finish.
Okay, in Norcross. Yeah, exactly.
No one leaves the parking lot. You get their keys on the way in. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. I know a couple 14-year-olds who might be able to learn.
I think you just volunteered your kids.
Well, so many times parents are dragging their kids to come yeah. out there, and they have to drag them away when they leave because they end up having just such a good time.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
And just seeing all this in one place, I mean, you can hear the numbers, but when you see book bags piled into mountains, and you think that's what it takes just for these kids to have that new filled book bag for 1 year.
I can't wait to see their faces when I know that must just
that's the payoff.
Make your day, make your month to see their faces when they get something new that's theirs.
Well, again, on August 9th, we actually have a back to school day of readiness, and we're going to be hosting that at East Roswell Park in Roswell this uh-huh. year. And so we actually invite all the kids to come out, and we generally have close to 1,000 kids come out wow. to this event. And again, in addition to getting that new filled book bag, we provide them with free health screenings, hearing and vision screenings,
wow.
sports physicals, dental exams, new haircuts.
Wow.
That's amazing.
Oh, man.
We grill some food for the kids. So we have fun activities, face painting and necklace making and jumping moons. And so it's just a huge fun event. And then again, when those kids get to come up at the end of the day and get their new book bag, yeah. just the joy on their faces, it's indescribable.
Because it's not a hand-me-down, it's not used supplies.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, as a homeless or a challenged kid, to have something brand new, you kind of feel part of the rest of the kids at school. You don't stand out.
And for these kids who are just entering a shelter, many of them don't have book bags, or if they do, their book bag's basically their suitcases, carrying what few clothes they can carry with them into the shelters. And so they're worried about going to school that first day, not having the proper supplies, getting ridiculed from their peers, teachers thinking that they're not serious, they don't care about their education. And it's just another way to separate them out from everybody else and, again, stigmatize them from all these other kids and make them feel less than.
And if they don't have those supplies, they feel like they're not prepared, so they kind of maybe throw in the towel, potentially, you know?
Yeah, it's a big confidence buster to not have what you need. So I have a little background noise going on with people on email, social media, asking me, again, about the website, which is
childrn.org, childrn.org.
Okay, so I want to remind everyone there's a donate now button. So while you're inspired, enjoying your cup of coffee during your morning break, go to childrn.org, and there's a volunteer now button and a donate now button. And of course, we have the gala coming up this Saturday, the 25th at the Ritz-Carlton. And then you have the Stuff the Bus on August 1st. And then we have programs. There's things going on throughout the fall and winter. Mm-hmm. So we're going to be reminding people throughout, you know, each month what's going on so they can, you know, take a little time out from their daily grind and do something to help these children. So we have a little more time left. What else, what other programs are on your mind that you think we should share?
Well, just to briefly touch on ways people can get involved, it's one of those things where, regardless of where you are, there's something you can do. And so we, again, 6,000 plus volunteers throughout the year. So even if you can only come out on a Saturday and volunteer for a few hours, there's a way to get involved with one of these seasonal campaigns. If you want to get involved with a child on a weekly basis, you can tutor these kids. And again, if you're working in a company, we always need help with collections for back to school, for our Thanksgiving food drive, our toy and gift drive. But again, we also try to do things not just for the kids, but for the mothers as well. And so on Saturdays, we host career workshops for homeless mothers living in these shelters, because by helping them, again, transition back into the workforce, not just find a job, but develop a more stable, steady career, that can help them transition out of homelessness quicker, and again, provide more stability in the kids' lives.
Do you need more volunteers coming in on the weekends doing those workshops or counseling?
Yes, we definitely do.
Okay.
And so these workshops, generally 3 to 4 hours on a Saturday morning. And again, we do them at three different shelters that work with homeless mothers. And we also just expanded to, we're also working with a shelter that works with older teens. So between kind of 17 and 21 to help these kids transition.
That's a big transition. Those kids who are aging out and heading off into the world. So lot of opportunities here. And I was just thinking about, again, the supplies needed by that age group, 17 to 21, that's a different...
Very different. They don't want the Spider-Man and Green Hornet backpacks or whatever,
Absolutely.
They need the more hip, stylish...
and stuff. I imagine there are some kids, I'm not going to say kids, I'm going to say young adults, you know, in their 20s and 30s around here who might be interested in mentoring someone in that age range. You know, they remember what it was like and, you know, maybe didn't have it quite as tough, but, you know, can share some life lessons. And, you know, women, I'm thinking, you know, on the weekend, a lot of us are busy with sports and housework and just catching up on everything we didn't do during the week. So how much time, if let's say I or someone wanted to come in and spend time counseling, career counseling with a single mom there in the shelter, how much time would you expect to I would need to block out?
Well, again, we do have these career workshops that are a few hours on Saturdays, but we can also work with individuals based on what they're looking to do. And so we've had people who host an art class once a month. or who teach the kids about music, and so or do fitness activities with the kids, and so we have these established programs, but we're always looking for new ways to engage with these kids and just to help inspire them, help reach their passions. And so, really, when a volunteer comes to us, we want to make it a great experience for them, and we want to put them into an environment where it's a good fit. And so we can definitely work with individuals on that case-by-case basis of, oh, you have a couple of hours on a Wednesday night. We'll try to reach out. Again, with 134 different group homes and shelters, somebody's always interested.
Absolutely. No, that's great. And, you know, in my daily life, as I'm going to meetings and around town where I take my kids to sports, I don't come across shelters and group homes. They're just not in my neighborhood, and I have to admit it kind of becomes out of sight, out of mind. And that's what another reason I wanted to have you on the show, because it's something that we do need to keep talking about and put front and center. So so it's great that people don't have to search out the individual shelters. They can come to you and find out where the needs are and what works for them. And you just make the process more seamless for someone to give of their time and money.
We just want to remind our listeners who are listening to Pro Advocate Radio, and our guest here this morning joining us in the studio is Ben Miner, Development Director at Children's Restoration Network. And all of the information we've been discussing can be found, and your ability to contribute or volunteer is at childrn.org. That's childrn.org. And again, you're listening to Pro Advocate Radio with your host, Deb Beecham, founder of My Advocate Center. And in just a moment, actually, let's jump in now. I'm a little interested on the backstory. Here are some points I want to kind of talk about. Is issue of clothing with children. We'll come back to that in a second. The business model and kind of the behind the Children's Restoration Network in terms of budget or funding. But first up, talk to you about the history or the backstory. I know you've been with them for 7 years, but how long has the Children's Restoration Network been around? What was its backstory?
Well, Children's Restoration Network was founded back in 1993 by Cliff Kinsey and Jim Cox, and both of whom still work with the organization and are still at the helm.
Right.
And so it started with just a group of volunteers. They went to one shelter downtown that had 100 bunk beds for women and kids. And so it started with just simple projects like cooking meals and cleaning. And then again, it expanded out to where today we work with 134 group homes and shelters. And so it's looking back on where it started, you never would have imagined. They talk about never even seeing how it got to this point. But when people, again, hear about the need of a homeless child, they act. It's just that most people simply don't know. To your point, out of sight, out of mind, you don't realize it. And there are these group homes and shelters everywhere. There are group homes and shelters in Cobb County and Gwinnett, but there are a limited number, and they're always full. And so those kids end up going having to go to other places. And so people think, oh, it's a problem in downtown Atlanta. Right. It's not a problem in my community. But it's a problem that affects everybody in the rural, urban, suburban, city. It affects kids of all walks of life in all of these different areas.
It's not a third world country. It's right here in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm. Right. No, that's what I was going to say.
It's amazing. So talk to us, you know, Business Radio X, from our perspective, can you share with us a little bit about your, you know, not business model, but I guess kind of your budget or, you know, funding? Where does most of your, we know we talked about volunteer people contributing, but do you have companies, organizations that help fund your projects? Or
We do rely heavily on the business community to support our programs and services. And so we don't receive any government funding. And
okay.
So all the support we get comes from individuals and private foundations and companies. And so, again, we rely a lot on these companies to help make this programs a reality. And again, we try to make sure that as much as possible is going directly to help these kids. And so last year, I think 93% of our support went directly towards our programs.
That's impressive.
Mm-hmm.
And it's much needed. I'd love to challenge more organizations to have that kind of direct impact. So thank you.
Mm-hmm.
for running such a great organization.
Can you give a shout out to any of these companies or organizations?
Absolutely. UPS is a great supporter. Again, Kroger, WSB TV, Northside Hospital. There's so many, and I apologize if I'm forgetting everybody, because it's dozens, if not hundreds, of companies that make these programs a reality. But there's always a need for more.
Absolutely, yeah.
Right.
So talk to us about, I don't know if clothing is in your wheelhouse. We haven't really talked on that topic, but, you know, there's a lot of organizations that do clothing for the winter months and so forth. Is that, I mean, you're spinning a lot of plates already. Is there something where you help out in terms of clothing or?
We do help out with clothing. And so throughout the year, we get people who want to donate items to us, and so they'll come and donate clothing for these kids, or they'll donate used household items or furniture. And so we're always looking for more of that, because again, we just send out an email to our shelters and this stuff gets claimed in about about 15 minutes later, everything's been claimed. And so anytime something comes through our door, we're able to get it right back out directly to these shelters.
And where is your door located?
Our office is located in Roswell. And so people can definitely drop things off at our office in Roswell, over off Elkins Road, 11285 Elkins Road, Suite C4. Okay. But with shelters everywhere around the greater metro area, we can also collaborate to help you find a place near you that could be in use for these goods.
Yeah, because distribution could be a challenge. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And again, during the holidays, one thing we try to make sure that not only do these kids get new toys and gifts, that they get new sets of clothing. And so it's not just about providing them used clothing, but making sure they have new outfits, because it's so important to them. And again, one company I did forget, Siemens, is a huge supporter of our organization. Last year, they adopted close to 1,000 kids.
Wow.
During the holidays. And so, companies can adopt anywhere as few as 4 or 6 kids, up to hundreds.
And walk us through that, what's entailed in, quote, adopting that kid, writing checks or volunteers, or what are some of the numbers, and what does the adoptee, I guess, receive?
Well, we primarily use that during our holiday campaign.
Yeah, yeah.
And so we will adopt out an entire shelter.
Okay.
And so, again, these shelters and group homes, they vary in size. And so if your company feels comfortable working with 15 kids, we have places that are about that size. If your family wants to adopt 6 kids, we can do that. And basically, we just ask that for each child, they spend at least $75 to $100 per child, and we provide them with wish lists that the kids provide. But some people go beyond that. Some people will come back and host a movie night with these kids throughout the year. And so that relationship can extend it. And I know sometimes companies or individuals, they want to do just like one-time projects. And so we have a program called Friends Indeed, where groups can get together and they can go help a shelter with landscaping or repainting, or take the kids to the aquarium or the zoo.
That's great.
And so again, broadening these kids' horizons and getting them to have these other experiences that we just so often take for granted.
I had a little bit of an aha moment. I don't know if this is already in place or somebody's already doing this, but you always hear about these bridal registries and the gift registries, right?
Yeah.
What about a kids registry? Right?
Absolutely.
So that you get, Target or Kohl's or Walmart or somebody involved, and the kids can kind of come in with their little magic wand for the holidays and scan their wish list. And they may not get everything, right? But now you know what the kid, wants, this little toy or this, or the, like you said, the high schooler want some new a gizmo or gadget.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you get that volunteer organization that says, hey, we're XYZ company, the Ritz-Carlton of Buckhead or whatever, and we're going to adopt 100 kids. But they know it's going to be $75 a kid.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
that's a great idea, Rich.
Right?
Oh, we would love to get something like that in place. But it, kind of in conjunction with that adopt a shelter program, we understand that not everybody's in a position to adopt whole shelters, and so a lot of times we do just collections for our general toy and gift drive. And so what we'll do is we'll have giant paper stockings, and they'll have ornaments with the kid's name on them. And so you can go and you can buy all of the gifts on there, or just a few of the gifts. Because, again, these kids in domestic violence shelters and emergency shelters, they are moving in and out, but we're getting their wish list so that we can make sure that they also have a great and memorable holidays as well.
You know, something that I mean, some of these kids just having their own pillow.
Mm-hmm.
Because especially if you have to move around, you know, having a pillow or something, you know, a big stuffed animal or something that's yours that makes you, you know, gives you some comfort. I mean, there's got to be so many ideas and things that we can come up with. But the main thing is just connecting with you,
mm-hmm.
childrn.org.
Mm-hmm.
And your social media is terrific. I'd noticed, been very active on Twitter. I need to get back on Instagram. I really want to see the photos there. But I was just looking at the website and your sponsors. You have the James Cox Foundation,
mm-hmm.
James M. Cox Foundation. You have the Scott Hudgens Family Foundation and Georgia Compassion Project. I love that project.
Mm-hmm.
That really caught my attention. And then
tell us, I'm not familiar with, or maybe our listeners aren't. Tell us a little bit about that project, the Compassion Project.
Well, the Georgia Compassion Project is actually our biggest sponsor throughout the year, and they help with our New Hope Scholarship Program. And so one thing we haven't really touched on is, again, for a homeless child who's graduating from high school, so often they're struggling and they're not going to qualify for the Hope Scholarship, but they still need to go to college or go to technical school, trade school to really develop careers.
That's...
And so we provide scholarship funding to help them achieve these dreams.
Wow.
I mean, post-secondary education is getting to be more and more important to your success in a career. And a person with a college degree earns $1 million more in lifetime earnings than a person with a high school degree.
Wow.
Can you say that one more time? I want to make sure that sticks.
$1 million more in lifetime earnings than a person with a high school degree. And just having a high school degree, you earn about $400,000 more than somebody who's a high school dropout. And so, again, making sure that these kids are able to, again, pursue post-secondary education, get their GEDs and go to college. Or, again, it doesn't have to be that. It can be becoming a beautician. It can be going to a trade school or a technical school. And so just making sure that it's not just about helping them get out of homelessness, but escaping poverty.
Right.
So the Compassion Project, I just had to slide my laptop over to Rich to see this. So I noticed they have billboards, I mean, very prominent billboards all over town. And is this just in this area? Where are they, in Atlanta company?
Well, the Georgia Compassion Project is a private foundation.
Okay, so it's all over Georgia that they have these billboards.
I honestly don't know if that's something that they're doing. I think that might be something that's a separate organization.
Project.
Okay. I'm not sure if they're involved in that at all, but I don't. That might be just a separate organization.
Okay. I was just looking at this, wanted to make sure we can...
Well, we're almost out of time, folks, believe
oh,
it or
no,
not. Yeah.
Really? Wow, that was fast.
So any closing points that we haven't hit on or you want to remind folks of?
Well, the big thing I want to remind people is that, again, it's not something where you don't have to be hitting home runs to make a difference in these kids' lives. It's coming out and bringing your kids out to volunteer for a couple of hours, packing book bags. It's going out once a week to tutor a child. It's making a $25 donation or a $100 donation. If you get a bunch of those, it adds up. Every donation makes a difference. It's asking your boss if you can host a collection for food at Thanksgiving or for new toys during the holidays. There are so many different ways you can get involved, short-term, medium-term, long-term. And again, it's something where over time it adds up. We've worked with over 59,000 homeless kids in our 22-plus year history. And so And it's because we have such great support from families that want to come out to volunteer, from corporations who make donations or host collections. And so it all adds up to really changing a child's life.
Okay, I just said when you mentioned home run, you know, a lot of times it's just showing up at the game, right?
Yes.
You don't even have to get up to bat to be able to make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
But because you need fans in the crowd, right?
Absolutely.
But on that line, we may be out of time, but I just we do have a couple more minutes. What about during the course of that 22 years or even recently, has there been participation like any of our sports leagues here, the Braves, the Hawks, or the Falcons, or could they donate tickets, or do you ever do outings like for the kids like that?
Yes, we have worked with the sports teams in the community, and they've been wonderful over the years. The Hawks have been a big supporter.
Oh, wow.
They provide tickets for the kids to come out. Last year, some of the kids we worked with went out to Roddy White's camp. And so we do get items donated from them, and the Braves have been big supporters in the past. And so, all these things, these kids, again, just to go out and meet a sports hero.
Oh, man, that makes, it puts a smile on their face. They're going to carry that for years.
Oh, yes. And the players on these teams have just been so generous, and these franchises have just been wonderful to work with.
Well, that's good to hear.
Yeah, fantastic. It's been great having you on here, and we've learned so much, and I'd love to have you back again, especially in the fall when school starts and we start getting into the holiday season and the needs of the kids. For right now, for people who want to go to the gala, if you go to childrn.org, you can find the link to buy tickets. There's also an auction catalog on here. Can you bid on the auction if you don't go to the event?
I'm not sure about that. There might be a buy it now feature.
Okay.
And so there is some of that. One thing that we do have going on, you don't even have to attend the gala to do this, but we have a sweepstakes for a ring that's valued at close to $13,000.
I was just looking at that.
Really?
Yes. it's $100 to enter the sweepstakes, and again, we're only selling 100 entries into that. But the best thing is, even if you don't win the grand prize, you're still going to win something. We're giving away 50 bottles of wine and 50 other pieces of jewelry. And so everybody's going to get something.
I like wine, but I don't know if I can, how long it take me to drink all 50 bottles. Oh, you spread that out. One prize.
No. No, 50 of the tickets will be paired with a bottle of
I'm
wine.
I'm just messing with you.
No, this looks like a great auction.
And the ring
is beautiful.
Oh, it's a blue sapphire and diamond ring, and it's valued at, I think, $12,950.
Someone donate that, I guess? Or
Yes.
Did a volunteer or a group or something? Or
It's Jim Shopping Network has been a big supporter of our gala and has donated beautiful jewelry to us. And so they'll also have several pieces featured in our gala auction.
Nice.
Yeah, and I'm going to give a little shout out to the Georgia Assembly. Thank you for retweeting Stuff the Bus. This is a great hashtag. We'll have a lot of fun with this. Take some great pictures of these buses. I can't wait. But yes, definitely check out the auction items here. And are you still accepting any items for the auction at this point? The event's only a few days away.
Yes, we are always willing to accept these items. And so with the auction coming up, we are always looking to get more items for that. But planning for the gala is a year-round activity, and so any auction items of art or sport or gift certificates, sports memorabilia, anything and everything.
Won't go to waste, will it?
It will not go to waste. Yeah. We accept any and all donations.
Well, great. I'm so excited to see you on Saturday for the event. It's been wonderful having you in here. Rich, thank you so much.
Absolutely.
Well, I appreciate everything y'all are doing to raise the profile of issues like this, as well as so many other issues that face our community. And again, to have those preventative steps to try to keep these situations from developing.
So we are Pro Advocate Radio, and there are so many ways to advocate for your community, for families and children all around you. Find a way to get involved. Let us know. You can reach out to us on myadvocatecenter.com.
This show is brought to you by My Advocate Center, the voice for families and family law advocates. Learn more at myadvocatecenter.com.